Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 17. You will see it up on the screen, though it's always helpful to compare what I have on the screen and what will come out of my mouth with what you have in front of you. So please do that. Today, I am going to tell you about how some poor thinking, some poor patterns of thought in my own personal life landed me in the hospital, and how if I had paid attention to this passage, I could have avoided a whole lot of pain and suffering and embarrassment, although I would not have an illustration this morning. So, it is always wise to learn from our own mistakes. It is even wiser to learn from the mistakes of others. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to learn from mine this morning. So there's your hook. Now, as we read this passage, what I would like you to do is focus on something in particular. I'd like you to look for all of the words and references that have to do with thinking and the life of the mind. Now, I'm going to pray for illumination, and then we're going to read our passage. Father, may your Spirit give us ears to hear you, eyes to see you at work, and hearts committed to faithful obedience for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, Paul says, because this body of Christ must grow into maturity, that's what the therefore is there for. Therefore, this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you for that. That's great. So as you look at that passage up on the screen, what are the words that you see, and I want you to call them out, what are all the words that you see that are related to thinking?
Understanding.
Minds, understanding, yes. What else?
Ignorance.
Sorry? Learn. Taught. Thoughts, yes. Truth, also deceit as well. Minds gets mentioned twice. In other passages or other translations, last couple of words it says in true righteousness and holiness. The Greek is actually righteousness and holiness coming from truth. So yeah, there's a theme in this passage. Right thinking is important. In fact, even with the term hardness of heart, in biblical thinking, that's at least 50% cognitive, because the heart is the seat of the will. It is the place where decisions are made. The heart is what takes what's going on in the mind, and it takes what's going on in the emotions, which they picture as being lower down, and the guts. The heart is right in the middle, and it's deciding between them. So thinking is really, really important. Wrong thinking, Paul is arguing, leads to wrong living. So absolutely, the Christian life is more than about right belief and right thinking, but it's not about less than that. In fact, it always starts in the mind, doesn't it? So a lot of what I'm going to say this morning is going to seem pretty obvious, but the question is then going to be, are we putting into practice what is wise and obvious? Now, my kids right now, we're doing garden boxes. We're going to have garden boxes in our backyard, and so we started planting seeds in little planters earlier on in the year. So in case you're not familiar with this terminology, when you plant a seed, this is sowing a seed, right? And when it eventually comes to fruition and you collect from it, that's called reaping, right? Sow something and reap from it, okay? Now, you know this quote. You're going to see it on the screen. Sow a thought, you know this one, don't you? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, reap a destiny. Thinking is pretty darn important, isn't it? Paul's argument is that his audience, these former pagan Gentiles, used to focus on things. In other words, they were thinking about things other than Christ, and it led them down this path. It kept them from God's life. They sowed thoughts and they reaped actions, and the consequence was that they were alienated from God. So Paul's point is that by starting without Christ, ultimately, all our best efforts at morality are going to fail. Now, he's not going to paint the world with one brush and say everyone is completely immoral. He's not saying that, but he is taking a big picture view. So Paul is aware that the Stoics have a certain standard of virtue. He knows that Aristotle wrote a book on ethics. But he's taking a big picture approach and saying, if you do not have Christ, ultimately all morality will fall short. That's his argument. Because in the end, people will still be doing their own things, and the life that it produces won't overlap with the life that God has on offer for us. But, Paul says, that is not the way you learned Christ. In other words, at some point for this group of people, their story changed. Christ met them, and they started learning something new. That is not the way that you learned Christ. At some point, they realized that Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and it changed them, and it changed things for them. Their focus changed. They started learning something new. In fact, they started learning not just something new, but someone new. And I find this phrase really interesting. He says, that is not the way that you learned Christ. Now, I would have thought, as I was reading this passage, I would have thought that Paul would have said, but you, at some point, you know, you were living that way, but then you met Christ. That's what I would have thought he would have said. You were living that way, but then you met Christ. And in meeting Christ, that's what changed things for you. But it's not. You know why? Because as we go through our Gospels and we read the Gospels, lots of people met Christ, didn't they? Lots and lots of people met Christ. Not all of them became disciples. Not all of them became learners of Christ. There's a distinction there, isn't there? It's not enough simply to meet someone. We have to get to know him. And we do this all of the time, don't we? If you want to make a friend, at some point, you need to get to know them. You need to learn them, learn about them, right? We learn the things that they like and the things that we don't like. And it doesn't matter if this is a relationship that's just a friendship or if it's a spousal relationship, if it's a relationship between parent and child. We want to get to know the other person. What makes them tick? What pleases them? What doesn't? What don't they like? What do they like? It's the same thing with Christ. We need to learn what it is that pleases Christ, right? Just like we do in all of the other relationships that we have. In fact, Jesus connects sort of learning and ongoing relationship in the Great Commission. So just call to mind, what is the Great Commission? Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, make learners, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Teaching, learning. These things are important. But then what does he go on to say? But don't worry, I am with you always. Ongoing relationship as well. It's not enough simply to have cognitive knowledge about someone, and it's not enough simply to have a relationship with someone. We need both going together all the time. That is not the way that you learned Christ. There's a certain way that we need to learn Christ. Now, what does he say in this passage? Look down at it. He says, that's not the way that you learned Christ. You were taught to let go of a certain way. You were taught to put off that former way of life. This is simply a description of repentance, right? We, at some point, have to admit that we don't have it all together, that we have screwed up, and we need to turn away from certain things, don't we? That's not even just a one-time event. That's something that Christians regularly need to practice. We need to sort of self-evaluate and go, yeah, I dropped the ball here. I need to confess that to God, say I'm sorry, and then move on. This is a picture of repentance. But it's never enough simply to turn from something, is it? You have to turn from something to something different. And this is absolutely crucial, and this is what this passage emphasizes. It's not just that we put off the old person, we put off all of those things that we were screwing up in, but we have to put on something new. We have to turn in a new direction. So we not only admit that we make mistakes, but the mistakes don't become our focus. You are not the sum total of the mistakes that you have made. Please hear that. Whatever week it is that you had, however many times and in as many different ways as you and I have dropped the ball this week, that is not who you are. That is not the sum total of who you are. Who you and I are is this, not what we have turned from, but what we turn to who, whom we turn to. We are to put on the new self. We are to focus instead on Christ. This is absolutely crucial, my friends. And this is why our thought life is so, so important, because all of this happens in the mind. So we need to change our thoughts. Have you seen the movie Inception? In the movie Inception, there's a very brief scene near the beginning where these guys are having a conversation about the thought life, and the one guy wants, I'm not going to explain the whole plot, but one guy says to another one, I'd like you to put this thought in someone else's mind. And he says, you can't tell someone not to think about something. So he says, for example, I tell you, don't think about elephants. What are you thinking about? The guy's like, yeah, elephants. Exactly. So we turn from something to something else. We have to change the focus of our thoughts. We don't dwell on who we were or the mistakes that we have made. We turn instead to something different. Sow a thought, reap an action. Okay? That's where we're going with this. So we have to stop telling ourselves that I've got to stop being angry with that person. Or we got to stop telling ourselves, like, I have these negative thoughts. I shouldn't have negative thoughts. Or I've got to stop hating this person. Or I'm in so much despair. Like, you can't dwell on that stuff. You have to instead change the focus. How do you do that? Well, stop thinking about the elephant and think about something else. You were taught to put off your old self and to put off the new, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, it says. We need to sow new thoughts. This is extremely practical, my friends. So if you want a godly life, here you go. Jen, would you put up the next slide, please? James 4, 7 to 8. You guys know this passage. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We are turning from something towards something else, and that is where the focus stays. So, here's how practical this gets. A friend once taught me this prayer. It goes, renounce, announce, and worship. It's just based on this passage. I renounce that thought in Jesus' name. I announce that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I choose to follow you. And I am literally going to continue in that pattern of thought. And I'm going to continue going forward. I choose to follow and worship you. Continue that thought instead. Continue focusing elsewhere. So I renounce fear in Jesus' name. Instead, I announce that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't need to be afraid, and I choose to follow him. I renounce shame. I renounce anger, lust, despair, cynicism, self-loathing, body image issues. I don't care. Fill in the blank, my friends. Whatever it is that pulls you down, renounce it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. It is a movement away from something towards something else. And when I say continue down that path, I mean actually continue in either prayer or worship or quoting scripture. Do whatever it is that takes that keeps you going down that path instead. So say, I am holding on to Christ. I renounce that. I announce this. I'm going to hold on to Christ instead. I'm going to continue in prayer. I'm going to continue quoting scripture. Pray, renounce this, and go, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my life. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, and on. You can do that. You can do that with the Lord's Prayer. Every single one of you knows the Lord's Prayer. Right? This is actually not complicated. It's so simple that we actually dismiss it as sort of conventional wisdom. This is sort of pithy stuff. And the sad part is that this is actually where like 98% of all of our struggles happen is right here. And it's how we choose to process things and think about them. I never forget, up on my dad's wall in his office when I was growing up, he had a quote by Chuck Swindoll that said, life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. Which means that 90% of the responsibility lies with me. And you know what? 98% of it happens right here. We can change the way that we think about things. We can change the way that we react to things. So if you want a godly life, simply start practicing this. I know it is deceptively simple, and it's so easy, it's so simple that we forget about it. We don't need to do it. But I guarantee you that this will actually really help you. And it's not sort of secular thinking that I have Christianized. This, it's right here. It's right in our Colossians passage. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old self. Put on the new instead. Focus on gratitude. Addicts often will talk about this, that it really helps with the stinking thinking. When they get in ruts, what they do instead is focus not on the thing that makes them want to drink or whatever it is. They will continue naming all of the things that they are grateful for instead because it puts the focus somewhere else. You can practice gratitude. You can practice the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23, and you can make those types of things your focus. Simply memorize a passage of scripture that helps you with whatever it is that's pulling you down. This is actually really powerful stuff. Renewal comes from repentance, but it's turning from something towards something else and then continuing in that path instead. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. This is not about being smarter. This is about being wiser, though. Because thoughts become actions, which become habits, which become, what is it? Lifestyles, which become a destiny, right? And we have the opportunity to learn Christ by focusing on him. Now, how would this have helped me avoid the hospital? Several months ago, I ended up in the hospital with symptoms of what looked like a heart attack because I'd been under an incredible amount of stress on a couple of different fronts. And so I was experiencing incredible pain in my chest and I could not breathe. And everyone at the hospital was treating it as though it was. So I had the EKGs, I think it is, the number of times I had to go for a stress test. They did my blood work and so on. And in the end told me to take aspirin because everything was actually okay. It was not physical. There was something that was going on that was mental, not physical. I was healthy. I was a healthy person. but I had fallen into ruts, certain ways of thinking and processing stress and anxiety that just weren't helpful. And I was focusing on the things that were stressful and pulling me down. And I confess to you that I had never really understood, like when Jesus says, like it's always been this vexing passage for me when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Does that sound like our passage? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I go, I have never experienced that. What's the deal? Because my focus wasn't actually on what that passage says. The passage says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My focus needed to be on something other than my problems. In fact, it needed to be on the person who could help me deal with those problems. So I came back a couple days after the hospital, still didn't know what was going on, and it was actually Jen that said to me, you know, that those symptoms, they sound like actually it could be a panic attack. Like, I could not have named a single symptom for you of what a panic attack was. Like, what comes to mind when I think of panic attack is like sweaty palms, and I didn't have sweaty palms. So I didn't know what was going on. So I look up, what are the symptoms of a panic attack? Well, actually, almost everything was exactly what I had experienced. It was here. It wasn't here, as the stress test later revealed that my heart was perfectly fine. I had not dealt with my problems appropriately. So, learn from my mistake. Okay? Let us focus on learning Christ, meeting him, ongoing relationship, and learning from him. And we will find that these things, they'll deal with themselves. Let's pray. Lord, help us to follow these scriptures, to set our minds on the things above, not on earthly things, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to let the same mind be in us that is in Christ Jesus, to take every thought captive for Christ. Help us to resist the devil and draw near to you. May you be the one we continue to focus on, to the exclusion of everything else that would pull us down. Teach us to sow thoughts and actions and habits that please you, and help us instead to learn Christ. In your name, amen.